inhabiting this hall of Tyrannus for 2 years. And the result was all Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And that's what we looked at last time. Today we're going to be looking at, continue on in Acts 19, 11 through 22, the power of God in Ephesus. And as we reflect on how the power of God came in that community of faith, it's just natural to ask, where is the power of God upon this community of faith? And if you want to individualize it, where is the power of God in my life? Let's ask God again to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to His Word. Lord Jesus, it's a marvel that all the Word of God is profitable to equip us to be more like You. You who led the perfect life and who went to that cross, You who knew no sin, to become sin so that I and my friends in this room can become the righteousness of God, can become friends of God. And to You we praise You. But we thank You, You've given us Your words. And so I pray, use the very words that You spoke of through Luke as he recorded this history of Paul. Speak to my heart, speak to my friend's heart. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, when the power of God came in Ephesus, it did so in a extraordinary healings and exorcisms. These were visible displays of healing and exorcisms. No doubt in the mind that they did take place, healing and exorcism. And so in Acts 19, 11 and verse 12 says, And God was doing extraordinary miracles. God's doing this, all right? And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. You guys got hands? Okay, got them. Okay, the hands of Paul, I mean real hands, God was using them. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Does anybody carry handkerchiefs today? I remember when I was in high school, we didn't have tissue. You know, so we all had nice handkerchiefs with your initials on it, JLB. I thought that was pretty cool. But now we use these things, you know. Okay, so God today could use these if he wanted to. What do you make of this? Wow. There's two reactions that I don't want you to have, okay? One is that you don't believe it, all right? This is a little too much. It's one of those Bible stories. I won't take that one. No. All the Word of God is true. We can trust it when we come to it. We might not be able to understand it, explain it. We might not even like what it says, but it is the Word of God. And this is what happened. You know, handkerchiefs and aprons. Now, they could be the aprons that Paul wore when he worked with the leather to make tents. I don't know if it's that. Some people say it could just be a belt. But anyway, it's an article of clothing. And can you imagine somebody going, hey, this is Paul's handkerchief, and the guy grabs a hold of it, and a demon comes out. I don't know how this played out, but it happened. So one of the dangers is we can say it didn't happen. The other danger is to say that's the way we got to operate. In other words, We got to mass market our own prayer cloths, and you can buy them online anywhere from 19 cents to 40 cents a piece, and you know, there's ministries that people do this, and they're very keen behind it, and I'm not going to doubt that perhaps some of these things we're seeing God at work. I don't know, but I don't think this passage here is prescriptive. What is prescriptive is that when God's power comes upon you, there's going to be extraordinary things happening. Last week, I went to buy a coffee pot. For those of us who like fresh coffee here, Robert, you with me? We like coffee here, right? So Bonnie says it's too hot. James, we can't cook coffee today, but in a couple of weeks, we'll get it cranking up. So I'm looking forward to that level when we can have really good coffee. But I'm in the coffee store and buying this coffee deal, which we had waited for about a year for them to order. And they finally got us our new coffee pot, a 10-liter baby. And anyway, I go in there, and all of a sudden I find myself explaining the gospel to these guys. I mean, the whole staff are listening to me. I mean, we're talking 6 people. It's kind of a slow store. It's a commercial restaurant supply store on Nathan Road. And no one accepted Christ or made profession of faith, but they listened to me, they asked questions, and I was able to talk about stuff. And I began to think, I'm from North Carolina, United States. I grew up, I never saw an Asian person except for one guy who married a Vietnamese girl during the Vietnamese War. I never had Chinese classmates. And I was very afraid, actually, as I got older and God started working on my heart and calling me to the mission field, that I could ever learn Chinese. Now, if you look at your life and what God has done in you and through you and what you're doing right now, you know what? You're going to see the power of God on you, which is an extraordinary way. Now, it might not be this apostolic stuff. I mean, this is great stuff. And let me show you one verse here from 2 Corinthians, just a comment on healing. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with utmost patience, with signs and wonders and mighty works. Now, there are those of us who we send out with intention to very dangerous places. Places that have been, if you will, held captive by the enemy. Where Satan has ruled, whether they're animistic, Buddhist, Islam, Hindu. These are very tough spiritual battlegrounds you go into. And I think God at times, and I know He is at times, He's pleased to show Himself in extraordinary ways. Some that are comparable to the apostles. But the apostles had a special gift. And it's upon the chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was sent from heaven, along with his disciples, which he trained, these apostles, the Holy Church has been raised up. And so there are these unique happenings and extraordinary powers of God working through the apostles. Some of you have seen God's healing work in very specific answers to prayer. A little bit smaller font. I don't know if you can see this. This comes from James 5, verse 14 through 16. Is anyone among you sick? Well, what do you do when you get sick? Well, you go see a doctor. Well, I'm grateful for doctors. I go see doctors. But here it says, if anyone is among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous person has great power. I know of one person, I don't see that individual here this morning, and it's not an elder and it's not a man. But she has been used of God in her prayers to see miraculous healings take place, even in her mother-in-law. What makes the power? When the power of God comes upon you, there can and will be expressions of healing. Not all the time. We were talking about this on Saturday morning in our men's group, and one fellow was very fired up because he just heard this grand testimony where a guy's on his deathbed with liver malfunction, and he's just an inch from death to the point to where his body's purple, and he smells of death, and. When they went in, it looked like the man was unconscious, this believer, and he shares Christ with him, and the guy just, boom, his eyes light up, and he starts to be interacting, he accepts Christ. And lo and behold, this guy was discharged in 3 days in the hospital. Well, needless to say, he and all his family are going to church now. wow. I can remember in my own experience years ago in California when Bonnie and I were just recently married. And by the way, we're happily married now 34 years. So that was yesterday. We're going to celebrate tomorrow at Kellen City. Go to our old stomping grounds. But when we were young and married, we had opportunity to serve among Laotian refugees in the Oakland California area, and this friend of mine said, James, I want you to go visit a guy. He's got a bad liver, some sort of hepatitis thing. He was isolated ward. We had to put on the mask and everything, go and see him. And I could see him. And this guy is definitely facing the doors of hell. I mean, he's wriggling in the bed, and his face is contorted. He looks like, yeah, the devil's got him, ready to eat him up right now. It's hell's waiting for him. And I said, Ephian, this guy is dying. He needs the gospel right now. We can't wait. You tell him. I didn't know Laotian, and actually they were I forget what Hmong, Blue Hmong, I think. You remember what Hmong? I don't remember. But the Hmong people, a special ethnic group that even extends down to Guangxi province, where our friends went last summer. he came to faith there in our presence, and you should have seen the relief, the release. It was so peaceful. There was no healing. He died that afternoon. But that man knew Jesus for a few hours. You can't control the power of God, but you certainly can pray in His name. And here it says, the effective prayer of a righteous person has great power. I don't come in the righteousness of James. I really did my devotions this week. I went to Bible studies. I shared my faith with these people. I preach. So now I can heal? No. I come in the name of Jesus Christ, who shared His blood for me. And He is the powerful one. We're praying for some people right now who are hurting. Will God heal? I pray that He does. God has purposes which I can't understand, but I know that our responsibility as elders, your responsibility as a believer, is to pray for the sick. And don't be surprised if you don't see some things really happen. You may have weak faith, but the effective prayer of a righteous person. Some of you have a gift of healing, and you've seen God use you. Let me know, and we can pray more together for people. I really appreciate your prayers, and keep those prayers flowing. So when the power of God came in Ephesus, it came with extraordinary healing and these exorcisms, the casting out of demons, just through touching articles that had touched Paul's skin and through Paul's hands. You wonder, did he touch these different things and say, would you distribute them? I don't know. But extraordinary things are happening, and extraordinary things are happening in your life if you reflect on it, the power of God in you. Godly fear in Christ being extolled. Let's unpack this. What happens next? Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. Itinerant Jewish exorcists. When I think of exorcists, I always think of my Catholic friends, right? So you look at the exorcist movies and all that. Generally, it's Catholic guys. Does anybody have experience of Jewish exorcists? I don't know. But here in the Bible, this is what these guys are. They travel around from town to town casting out demons, and they're these seven sons of a high priest, Sceva. And they do it by saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. And that word adjure is simply means, I command you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. So that would indicate that they don't know Christ, but they're just using this formula. I command you by Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Well, the story goes on and tells us that it didn't work. But the evil spirit answered them. Wow. Now this is real demon possession, an evil spirit speaking through a human being, and says, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. There was no power They're trying to use a magic formula. And some of us even think that the formula is if I say the words in Jesus' name. It's not the formula. It's being a friend of the living God through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteous one who went to that tree and died and shed his blood for me so that I can become a sinner, be changed, transformed into a son of God. Don't belittle who you are, sister, brother. You are children of the living God, Almighty. Yes, our bodies may deteriorate. It may fade away. I was able to go to a funeral of a dear friend who fought cancer for 11 years, and that in itself was a miracle that she could live that long. But I know and I'm comforted that she is with the Lord in heaven. It's going to happen. Awake my soul. Get a hold of this thing that my physical body, which is getting older and getting weaker, and some of us are battling with diseases that are very, very serious. It doesn't matter even if we lose to that disease, we're going to have, awake my soul, we're going to have this resurrection of these bones. It's the hope within you. And that's from Holy Spirit. That's not from anybody's suggestive thinking. No. It's a fact of life in Christ. So these guys got beat up. This is one artist's rendition. They still got their clothes on. I don't think that's right. But anyway, they were very shamed. They'd been beaten up by this one demon. If you look at it very closely, I Googled Sons of Sceva. You don't find too many artworks. Nobody wants to do an artwork about these guys. But there's seven guys in there being beaten up by that one in the middle. Well, this became known to all the residents of Ephesus. Anybody ever read D.B. Forum? I haven't read it in the last week, but I trust there's not been any fights. But anytime there's a fight in here, you know, it gets on the D.B. Forum. Did you see that guy at McDonald's knock somebody's, you get these guys. The whole city of Ephesus knows this. Now, this is not a little city. It's a major trading port. And they're all talking about it. Hey, these seven guys, these Jewish traveling exorcists came through, and you know what happened? The devil beat them up because they were imitating, thought they could be like a Jesus guy, and they weren't. Unlike Paul, you know, his handkerchiefs, when he lays his hands on those demons, leave. And the fear fell upon them all. And this is what I meant by this sign of the power of God. A fear of God falls on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled, magnified, glorified. He was lifted up. That's all they talked about in the city was Jesus. For those of us in the sporting world, when a sporting team does well, that's all they do is talk about that team that's done well. If somebody does well in business, or someone does well in your corporation, they're the chief guy in sales. They really knock the roof out with their sales. You talk about them. Well, this city is talking and glorifying and magnifying Paul. No, Jesus. And so when the power of God comes upon you and comes upon me, who gets magnified? Who gets glorified? It's not the ministry of DBICC. It's not the ministry of Pastor James. It's not the ministry of me, Joe Christian. Who is it? Jesus. This is done by Jesus. So fear of God. God's in control of everything, and he knows what is make-believe, what is a fake, and what is true. He knows that about my life, what's true and what's fake, and how my very breath is dependent upon him. So the fear of God came upon Ephesus. There was this extraordinary healing and exorcisms, and God is feared, and he is extolled. Christ is lifted up, and there's this other very visible evidence of the power of God at Ephesus. And that was true repentance. In verse 18, chapter 19, verse 18. Also, many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices. Now they're coming clean. The believers are having a refreshment and getting some repentance here. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. That's about $6 million today. Did anybody see the movie The Book Thief? Okay, a few of us. That's kind of a neat book, neat movie. And they burn books. And so they have this, and I thought that was kind of a scary thing to watch them burn books. But that wasn't $6 million worth of books. No. That's just probably $20,000, $30,000. So if you imagine a great big bonfire as big as this hall filled with books and we're burning them, $6 million worth of magic books. Ephesus was known as a center for a cult and all this magic stuff. And so what a way, you know, for us seven sons of Sceva to come down here and maybe we can make some money on the side and cast out demons, you know. So it's this attraction to the occult, and you can see how it impacted these believers' lives. I remember when I first came to Christ and I was really understood the beauty of Jesus, I got rid of all my vinyl albums back then. That had to deal with drug usage. Basically, it was albums we listened to when we got high, and it kind of played with your head, and the music was playing with your feelings, and just was basically for people who like to get high. Anybody ever listen to Grateful Dead? Don't go out and buy that kind of stuff. I mean, really, they're just trying to encourage you to use drugs and listen to their music. Now, some of you Grateful Dead owners out there, don't. It's between you and the Lord, but I can't not listen to Grateful Dead. Led Zeppelin. A lot of kids today like it. I can't listen to Led Zeppelin. Black Dog. I had a freaked out trip on LSD. But when Christ got a hold of my life, yeah, I say no to these substances, these addictions. But I also said no to certain albums. Got rid of them. Broke them. Threw them away. More so, I can say this with authority. Albums, you guys are going to have to make that a Lord decision, okay? If you got some old vinyls or if your iTunes, what's ever in your iTunes, you got to make some lordship decisions on that. What does the Lord want you to listen to, okay? But this I can say with all the authority. Get rid of occult books. If you've got anything in your house that deals with magic, telling you how to do stuff, get rid of it. All right? If we want to have a bonfire, we'll go somewhere. We'll burn these things if you want to, but get rid of them. Don't just throw them away and hold. Tear them up, throw them away so they can't be used. I used to really get into Hindu books, and my mom, when they came in the mail, she would throw them in the trash can, and I always wondered, I ordered these things. Where are they? And my mom knew they were evil, and she got rid of them. Guys, I think yoga's fine, but when you get beyond breathing techniques for health purposes and you start getting into chanting mantras, that is dealing with evil spirits. And most of my growing up years, when people got into it and you got into this meditation, transcendental meditation, they just use this one phrase, OM, you know, Om, 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 and you just do it all. Other people said, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama. You do all this kind of stuff. And what are you doing? You just repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, and it just opens up a little gate and the evil spirits come. If you got anything like that in your house, get rid of it. Now, for those of us who come from Oriental worship here in the States, here in Asia, we will have our Buddhist friends who may give us articles of faith. And they say, if you keep this Buddha in your home, or if you keep this Taoist sword in your home, you will have blessing. Don't believe that. Get rid of it, okay? Now, if it's just something artwork for you, that I can understand as a lordship decision. But some of these things have been actually used in worship. I know of one man, and when he broke his Taoist sword and threw it away, his back got healed. Figure that one out. There's certain things that when we come to love Jesus, we do not let them into our house. And particularly any books that deal with occult, the black arts, how to get in touch with spirits and do medium stuff. Get rid of all that. I have a good friend, Gordon Chan. We wondered what was he going to do next. Do you know what he's going to do next? He's going to be a magician, a Christian magician. He's going to train Christians how to do magic. Do you have a problem with that? Well, illusion. I think there's no problem to do that. It can be entertaining. And if you've ever seen Christian magicians, they do these tricks and then they talk about Jesus. Okay, that's one way to do it. But he's not going to be trying to come in contact with evil spirits. That's another thing. It's a whole different type of black magic, which God tells us do not be involved with. So when the power of God came on these people, there were healings and exorcisms. There was this fear of God that fell over the whole city. And there was this whole city lifting up Christ, and there was true repentance shown in an economical way. We're getting rid of all this junk that's in our house. We're going to burn it. All right. Gospel advances. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. The word of the Lord. God is the creator. He's the one who raised up Israel out of nothing. Using an old woman and an old man, he made a nation. And he took that nation and gave them a land and delivered them from Pharaoh, first of Egypt, gave them a land. And they rebelled against them. Then he sent them off in captivity. I skipped a few kings there. But to make a long story short, King Jesus arrives on the scene. And what do? They crucify King Jesus. But King Jesus does what? He raises from the dead and sends Holy Spirit. And this word that there's life in Christ, that this whole world makes meaning because of Christ who created, who saves, who sustains, and who's coming again. This word grew and increased and prevailed mightily. And then we get down to some geography. Now after these events, Paul resolved in the Spirit, so the Holy Spirit moving Paul, giving him a vision to pass through Macedonia and Achaia, and go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. I'd like to see Rome too, you know. I'd like to go to the Vatican, see what that looks like. Yeah, just go on a holiday. No. He wants to go to Rome to speak this word, the word of God, to lift up Christ in Rome, which is the center of the empire. This man had a vision. Okay, we go to these different centers. Yes, there's Corinth and there's Ephesus and there is Rome. He has a vision given to him by Holy Spirit. So having sent to Macedonia two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. And then we're going to see this eventually at the end of his life, he will be there in Rome. Okay, application. Have you been touched with God's power? Yeah, I guess. I don't know if there's been any exorcism in, coming out. By the way, when it comes to exorcism, when you meet people who are demon possessed, you won't doubt. You won't have any. You'll know it. Okay? They're very, very demon possessed. You'll know it. But each one of us has been saved. Those of us who name the name of Jesus have been saved from selfish sin. We love ourselves. We don't love God. We love ourselves. We don't love others. And we've been saved from that. And now Holy Spirit works in me. And I'm not perfect in the way I love God. And I'm not perfect the way I love you. And the way I love my family. I'm not perfect that way. But God's Holy Spirit's working at me. And making me to will and to do His good pleasure. And to love Him. To grasp Him daily and to worship. We call them devotions and quiet time. And why do I got to do that so then I'll have a blessed day? No. I love Jesus. I want to be with Him. I want to get that reward He gives in secret to those who worship Him. This is great. This is great what we do together. Worshiping on Sunday, the Lord's Day. It's commanded in God's Word and it's good for you and me. But grabbing God's grace daily. That's what I want for you, and I pray for you, and I pray you pray that for me. That we will experience that touch of his power daily. Yeah. We want to grow in our love. Yeah. We didn't do that before. We've been changed. We experienced his power, and now we're loving God and other people better than we did without him. But how about healing and exorcism? Substance abuse, other addictions, it could be addictions to pornography, addictions to overeating, whatever. You can understand that God touches you and delivers you. It could be addictions to gossiping. It could be addiction to money. You know, I love money most. That's all I talk about. You know, all these things, and you've experienced God's deliverance. And some of us, I know some of us, in a miraculous way, have experienced God's healing touch on our own physical bodies. Godly fear and a life that exalts Christ. Now, this fear of God doesn't mean that I tiptoe around and if I wonder, well, if I don't put on the right clothes today, will God love me? No, it's not that kind of thing. It's all my experience today is God control. For somehow God has us in the safety of Discovery Bay, and the beauty of this place this morning was amazing. You see the sun and the clouds and the sky and the green mountains, all those colors and just the fresh air to, you know, it's just, this is what makes life great, right? And you look at all these great blessings. But God has organized it and put it here. You know. But even in this beautiful city, on days like today, there's going to be awful things that happen to certain people. Why can't it be me? It might be me. But I know God controls this life. So we walk in the fear. Okay, do we exalt Christ? Yeah, let's talk about him. You know, when we have coffee with friends, when we go out to lunch, when we're in the workplace, and whenever we put in a word for Jesus. You can do that in many ways. If you're walking with the Holy Spirit, he'll show you how to talk and when to open your mouth. But exalting Christ, and what a glorious way to do it when we worship and sing. And thank you, worship team, and putting hard work into getting this music out there. Do you guys like their music? It's all right. That's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. And to God be the glory. But it's great to come here and sing out loud, you know. I don't sing like this at home. Well, not too much. But I listen to music, a lot of Christian music in my ears, and you know, I'm in the gym and I'm listening to this stuff. I'm ready to crank it out, you know, sometimes. But yeah, it's great to really exalt through song here. True repentance. Now, I don't know what shape or form that will take in you, but if the power of God has come upon you, there's got to be more true repentance. It's increasing. You begin to see, what am I doing? Do what I would desire from life, is this what you want me to do, Lord? Is this really, you know, should I be given 12 hours a week to watching football and 2 hours to sermon preparation? I think that's a no-brainer, right? But I have to control myself and, you know, different things you have to repent of as we, as God's people. What does true repentance look like for you? A vision for those without Christ. Now, when Holy Spirit comes upon a people, they begin to do different things. They begin to pray about those who have yet to know Christ. They begin to be involved in helping those who do not know Christ yet. Is anybody going to Inner Mongolia this week? Weekend? Anybody out there going? Leaving Friday, come back Monday. Anybody going? Okay. All right. Just checking. The opportunity is there. This might not work this weekend for all of us coming back into after holiday. But we have partners in this church who God is using in magnificent ways in allowing us to have a glimpse of other cultures where he is working and moving. The Inner Mongolia trip, if you've got any time this coming weekend, let me know. That's Friday through Monday. We've been talking about this for several months, all summer actually. But if anybody's out there, you know, today you want to make a decision to go, do that. Business for Transformation, B4T.org. We had a gentleman came here not too long ago. I think he goes by Patrick Lai. He's got to use that name. And just had an open conference in Istanbul where there were 190 guys who came, and they're all preparing to do businesses throughout the Muslim world. Do you have this vision? This is what God is doing now among the people who are on the cutting edge of mission, is to see business for transformation. They go into a culture, they hire local people, and they train these local people to do a business which blesses the community economically. They gradually learn the language, and then they do the church planting thing. Okay, so they're not using a business as a facade, but they're actually doing business for transformation. It takes quite a call from God to get into this. But they're seeing throughout the world, not just the Western North American guys, but throughout the world, Christians coming and getting involved in missions through this business for transformation. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was telling me about a noodle shop in, I guess it's Tehran. Somewhere in Iran. A noodle shop. Who wants to open up a dim sum store in Saudi Arabia? I don't know. You know, whatever it is, you know, whatever kind of thing, what works? You know, they have a good business model and plan, but then what's behind it? Spirit-filled Christian business people. So what goes on at my friend's conference in Istanbul is he trains people and he has teams of advisors to help these other guys who have visions to do business startups cross-culturally. How do you do that? And so not terribly unlike here in Hong Kong, we got a lot of consultants who help people with their businesses and developments using manufacturing in China and elsewhere in Southeast Asia. But business for transformation, it's what's happening. I'm just trying to open up your eyes to see where it's going. Okay, 4 to 14 window. What do you know about this one? Have you ever seen this before? Age 4 to 14 is when most people profess Christ. There's another window we often talk about in missions, and that's the latitude window of 10 to 40, the 10-40 window. And within that 10-40 window, starting from Africa, coming across its way to Asia, you have, I think it's like 90% of the world's population. Well, over half of that 90% of the world's population fits this window, 4 to 14. It's one of the things God used in my heart to come to Hong Kong was that 90% of all the Christian laborers were in North America, but 90% of the people live in the 10-40 window. It seemed to me, oh, well, it's a little imbalanced here, isn't it? Children need Christ. This is the window of opportunity for this city and throughout Asia. 4to14window.com. If you mark these down, all right? B4T.org, put that down. You know, Google these places. 4to14window.com. Great websites. Back to Jerusalem. Have you ever heard of this? Back to Jerusalem movement? Okay. Go to backjerusalem.com. Does anybody recognize that guy in the middle? He's been on everywhere you look at different times and periods. But this is Pastor Saeed, an American-Iranian who's been arrested how long? Two years? 2 years. And I was just told by a good friend who works among this type of people that Islamic State people have put a hit on this guy. He's in prison. He's been beaten and chuffed very roughly in these 2 years. And his family have made appeals to the president, Obama, etc. American government's kind of hands off. But now the ISIL group wants to have him assassinated in prison. Let's pray for him even today, and in the power of God, protect this brother. And if it pleases our Lord Jesus, that he'll be freed. BackToJerusalem.com talks a lot about how to motivate, how the China church has a vision that on Eastern China, Western China, would go into the Eastern Bloc nations there, a Muslim, and take the gospel all the way back to Jerusalem. And not only just to those areas adjacent to the China border, their Western border, and going back to Jerusalem, they're also sending workers from China to do missions in various nations, Africa as well as India. It's a great movement to learn about. Some say it's the largest missionary movement right now on the planet. God is doing things. And I'm surprised by how we've got gifted people in this church. They can keep our eyes awake and our hearts on fire to see Christ, a vision of Christ to the unreached. Okay, some of those movements. And lastly, to put it all together, I think if you haven't got this app, it's really a good one. JoshuaProject.net, just go there. And you can get an app on your phone. I got it on my phone. And you can pray for the unreached people. They put up an unreached people without Christ, and how to pray for them, describe it, and you pray for them daily. JoshuaProject.net. Okay, do you have a vision for those without Christ? Going beyond DB. When the power of God comes upon this place, we definitely will have a vision to reach the unreached. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word this day, and I honestly have to ask myself, have you visited me with your power? And I know the answer is yes. And for everyone who names the name of Christ, we know that yet you had to turn our heart to you. We were walking not wanting a king in our life, but you've turned us around, and we understand that life without you doesn't make sense. You made us your creatures in your image, that the only way we can really enjoy life and see the glory that waits beyond this temporary time is to be with you through Christ. And so, yes, we have experienced your power, Lord, and some of us are still in need of healing. Our hearts. Some of us need to be repenting and get rid of bad habits, not through our power, but through your power. Lord, we certainly don't fear you as we should, and we don't lift you high as we should. Forgive us. And quite frankly, oftentimes, we just are very critical of the world. Very disappointed by the world and have no vision to love it and to bring Christ to the world. Lord, I'm convinced, as my friend and I talked about yesterday, you're the answer to stopping Islam. It's not warfare. Just the gospel. And we know in your time, if this is the time where it's going to ascend and escalate into more and more war, Lord, you will return. But not until the gospel has gone to every tribe and nation. So we thank you for people like the Joshua Project, the Back to Jerusalem movement, the 414 window, and the B4Ts, Lord. We thank you for showing us how to be involved. But most of all, we thank you for your power coming upon our hearts that we will love those who've yet to hear, and we will do something about that. So I pray your blessings on this upcoming trip to Inner Mongolia. I pray your blessings on our friends' SALTS ministry, even Steve and his team who are in there now having strategic talks. Pray your blessings on our offerings to buy and purchase and distribute these audio solar-powered Bibles. Thank you, dear God. And I know you hear these prayers because we make them in Jesus' name. Amen.